It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 8 o'clock, The Big Table, the guys behind Closed Sessions, the indie hip-hop record label in Humble Park. We'll talk with them coming up about a lot of things, about working with some of the independent hip-hop artists that are coming through Chicago and making a name for themselves at an explosive rate. I mean, everyone from Chance the Rapper to Vic Mensa to Kwaku Collins, who we had on, Mick Jenkins, so many artists, Saba, who are coming through Chicago's, or up and coming through the ranks of Chicago hip-hop, and they're becoming national just stars. And we'll talk with Closed Sessions, who's been a record label that's been behind a lot of these voices and has helped them early in their career. So that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, later tonight, it's a swap meet. You think you got some good Chicago memorabilia? Greg Flamm will be here to tell you if you do or you don't. It's pretty simple. Last time we did it, we had such great response. People were calling up saying, I've got a map from 1948. And Greg was amazing. He's like, no, that's not worth anything. It's like it was destroying dreams. But then there were some that called in. And he's like, oh, that's great. I'd buy that off you. That's what Greg does for a living. He resells on eBay and does a lot of auctions, things like that. So Greg will be coming up with swap meet in the 10 o'clock hour. Well, just this week, CPS students, teachers, and administrators said goodbye to the 2015-2016 school year. It schools out for the summer, but this is a critical one for budgets, funding, and, of course, the Chicago Teachers Union, who threatened to strike in the fall. It's hard for those with no skin in the game to understand the chaos and uneasiness surrounding public school these days. But that's not stopping teacher Erica Wozniak for standing up for herself and her students. The American Federation of Teachers announced earlier this month the Everyday Hero Award, and it was given to Wozniak, a fifth-grade CPS teacher. She's a science teacher at the neighborhood school Oriole Park Elementary in Norwood Park. She's a self-proclaimed strategic troublemaker. Love that. Who stands up for the rights of her students and her school. Wozniak also co-hosts the onstage talk show at the Hideout called The Girl Talk. Her co-host is Jen Sabell over at DNA Info. Erica Wozniak, welcome to The Download.
Thank you for having me, Justin.
So let's talk about the Everyday Hero Award. I mean, this was a big deal, and the American Federation of Teachers, a national award. Talk about what this means to get this award.
Well, it's a really big deal. I'm extremely honored and also humbled to have it, because there's so many people who work in our schools every day who are heroes to our students, and that's really what it's about. So just being there for our students day in and day out, and there's just so many of us who do that. So,
well, let me ask you, what does it mean for you to be a hero? When you say a hero to the Chicago public school kids, what does that mean?
Somebody who's there for my students as individuals and helping them grow and just be good humans. I think that's what that looks like.
Okay, so you've been a teacher for 12 years in the system. Talk about how you got into it, what your first experiences were at CPS, and as opposed to what you have now.
Wow. Okay. So I started 10 days out of student teaching. I went to DePaul, and I started at a school called Heffron, which was, just to put it in context, it was on the west side. It was across the street from a coffin factory. And I had a group of fourth grade students who were really great students, great kids, but they were dealt a rough hand in life. A few of them had already been involved in a gang-related shooting.
This is fourth grade.
This is fourth graders. But they were great kids, and I was there, and I would get there at 6 a.m. when the school opened, and I would leave at 7 p.m. with the engineer. And actually, one night I was going home, and I got punched in the back of the head on the bus, but I went back the next day because I wanted to be there. So, you know, this young 21-year-old kid who's just trying to change the world, make a difference. But after about a month there, my principal let me go because her friend needed a job. So I got let go, and I ended up at a school called Morton Career Academy. And I taught there for about 4 years. I became the delegate there after just a few months because I found out that there was asbestos in my classroom. So I ended up calling the union, the Chicago Teachers Union, and telling them about it. And while I was, you know, so upset about the situation that my students were learning in a classroom where there was asbestos, which is very timely given, mm-hmm. you know, the lead in the water situation. So we you know, I called the union, and the union was there the next day. So I immediately became delegate. Marilyn Stewart, who was the president at the time, she was there, and she said, you know, you guys don't have a delegate. And I raised my hand, and all the other teachers were looking at me like, girl, you're crazy. You've been teaching here just for a couple of months. You're a first-year teacher. But I wanted to do it because I wanted to advocate for my students.
You spent, you know, the early part of your career advocating for students at on the West Side. You now are in Norwood Park, which is a little bit more affluent. You're going to get more firefighters and police officers and families around city workers.
Yeah.
What's the difference between teaching at fifth grade at Oriole or fifth grade or fourth grade at Morton?
Well, the big difference is that we have a community that is really invested in our school's community. So they're very invested in making sure that they know what's going on, they're at the schools, and that's not to say that that wasn't happening in other communities. Maybe it was just situational where people in the Norwood Park community can't have 9-to-5 jobs where they can be at school at a certain time or they can take off work and they're not going to lose their job. But very dedicated parents. I mean, if I give out a homework assignment that doesn't make sense, I'm going to get at least 6 emails about it. And I appreciate that about my parents. I mean, they're on top of it. I communicate with them regularly and they want that. And, you know, my husband works in Inglewood, and he communicates with his parents very regularly too, but mostly via text, maybe not so much email. And he also, you know, if they have something that's happening at the school, it's harder for them to get parents to come. Like I said, maybe it's situational.
It's a work situation, yeah.
But it's also a buy-in to the school and to the school community, and that's something that Oriole Park really has done a great job of.
And as I mentioned, it's a neighborhood school.
Yes.
I mean, in the way that we've seen so much kind of playing out between selective enrollment, charter schools, magnet schools, and neighborhood schools. Neighborhood schools are almost forgotten because they're the ones that are, you know, are bound by boundaries and are just there. But talk about the pride of winning an award like this for a neighborhood school.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you say the word pride because that's our whole theme of our school is Panther Pride. So we're the Panthers, the Oriole Park Panthers. So yeah, the pride of winning this award it's more about our school and just making our school a better place. And the students, you know, we have things all over the school that say, you know, have pride in your school, shut your lockers, make sure your classroom is clean at the end of the day. Just having pride in this is where we learn. This is an important place, and maintaining that as well. So for me, I mean, I probably could look at my school staff and I could say that I'm probably the least deserving of the teachers to win this award because I admire every single thing that every teacher in my school does. And because they're there at 6 a.m. some days and they're until 7 p.m. and they're doing so much for their students. And our school community also really recognizes that.
Erica Wozniak is in studio with me tonight. She's a science teacher at the neighborhood school, Oriole Park Elementary, Panther Pride, in Norwood Park. We'll continue the conversation here on The Download just after the break. Stay with us. It's The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. My guest in studio, Erica Wozniak. She is a fifth grade science teacher at the neighborhood Chicago Public School Oriole Park Elementary in Norwood Park. She just won the American Federation of Teachers Everyday Hero Award, and she's also a self-proclaimed strategic troublemaker. Erica, what does that mean?
It means that I'll think about what kind of trouble I'm going to cause before I cause it, so I don't just go out there and start, you know, going crazy.
Well, you
crazy.
Mentioned it. I mean, you're a steward for the school.
Yep.
You've had that experience. So when you talk about strategic troublemaking, it's really about making sure the voice of teachers is heard to the CPS office.
Yeah, and to the city as well. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that are going on in our city that the general public doesn't always know about and doesn't always think about.
We've seen in recent months, you know, the idea that people that are involved in the union or are outspoken against the mayor may find themselves either taken off the post, reassigned. Do you worry about that as a teacher, being outspoken to issues in schools?
I guess I don't, because I know that what I'm speaking out for is right. I mean, one issue that I've been really outspoken about has been the use of $55 million public tax dollars to buy the land for a stadium for DePaul University, my right. alma mater. So I know that that's wrong and that's bad for kids. So I'm happy to speak out against that and do whatever I need to do to get my voice heard and in believing that. So,
well, let's talk about some of the other things that you advocate for. Obviously, what I read in the, you write commentaries at time, op-eds for the Chicago Tribune, one of which was talking about class sizes. This is something I don't think people recognize that happens a lot in CPS. There's a union contract that says that that a size of a class is 26 kids, 28 kids, something like that. And more often than not, that's just thrown to the wayside. That's overlooked, looked the other way. And we're seeing in Chicago public schools today, second, third, fourth grade class, especially in some of the higher populated areas, having 36, 38, 40 kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this year was my first year that I had I had 26 students this year. The year before, I had 36 students. And I filed a class size referral every year. And we, our school community was extremely, extremely outspoken about the high class sizes in our school. And eventually, we were one of the North Side schools. I recognize we're a North mm-hmm. Side school that got an addition. So that's how our class size was able to be reduced, because of the, you know, additional space of having the addition. But having the 26 students, like, this year, on the first day, I know I wrote that I kind of had to step out and sort of have a moment for myself where I cried a little bit, because I felt that this is what these students deserve. You know, I mean, I was able to get to know all of their names by the first hour of the day and get to know them so much better as human beings than the year before, to be honest, because I had 36. I had 10 more kids, a third more kids to learn and get to know as learners and as people and all those other things. I mean, that's a lot in the space.
Right.
I mean, you're thinking 36 10-year-olds in a small classroom. That's a lot of bodies.
Yeah, right. Not to mention a lot of smells.
We talk a lot about that.
Well, let's talk. I mean, the other issues, too, are namely about resources. I mean, you're seeing this across. I mean, we're obviously having a huge budget fight about what can be cut and what can't be cut school by school. But it's bigger than that, because Oriole Park has the same issues as a lot of other schools when it comes to just the space in itself is getting stretched, where you have to make decisions on whether or not the library is going to double as the art room, or if, you know, the cafeteria is also going to be a classroom. You know, there's a lot of things that have to be decided by at the school level that I think a lot of parents and people who aren't necessarily in Chicago Public Schools don't ever think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see this great exodus of principals this year alone, and the principals have to get so unbelievably creative with their budgets, because the budgets are terrible right now. I mean, the per pupil spending that we've gone to, and I don't even know if they're going to do it this year, this upcoming school year, assuming we open. But it's really bad. And even what people don't understand is we've gotten a lot of new students this year. In fifth grade alone, we've gotten a lot of new students. And each time we get a new student, we don't get the funding that goes along with that student. So if I have a student who transfers into my classroom after the 20th day of school, we don't get the measly $4,100 that comes along with that student. So we still have to provide for that student without getting the funding. And let's say they came from another neighborhood school in CPS, that school would then have the funding. So when students transfer in, we just have an additional yeah. body and an additional person that we need to teach without the funding.
There's so many issues that are, you know, that we
so
can
many.
Talk about. and let's get to some of the ones that I'm curious about. You know, when you think about being in the starting 12 years ago, do you see Chicago Public Schools moving in an upward trajectory, or do you see it moving in a downward trajectory from your vantage point as a teacher, 12-year teacher?
I see it moving in this current moment in a downward trajectory. However, I've seen ebbs and flows. Right now, I think our biggest issue is just our elected officials who just don't seem to care about Chicago public school students. And that's the bottom line, specifically our governor. And also, I mean, our mayor has proven that he doesn't seem to care too much as well, although I'm sure he would disagree with me on that.
Well, I mean, that obviously is into the next question about politics. Obviously, schools have become politics. We've seen arguments in the state house about, even today we saw Governor Rauner talking about bailout, the word bailout, to give money to Chicago public schools. He will say Chicago messed up their funding. It's not fair for them to get more funding than someone else in the state. For you as a teacher, as a steward, as someone who's in the classroom, do you pay attention to those kind that kind of rhetoric, to the politics that are playing out about whether or not, you know, schools will be funded?
Yeah, I mean, I pay attention to it very much. Do I worry about it? Yes, but I can't, to an extent that I still have to worry about the 26 students who are in my classroom and what's going to happen next year. And I still have to plan my lessons and figure out what I'm going to teach and make sure that I'm the best teacher that I can be. But yeah, absolutely. I pay a lot of attention to it. And I pay a lot of attention to who's doing what and who's voting where. And I really, you know, that's something that's been very important to me in these last few years, specifically after the mayoral election.
All right. So two more questions and we'll wrap up here. One, so many times we'll have a conversation about politics and schools, and I will get texts and I'll get the devil's advocate about the teachers. You know what? They want more money. They're going to strike for more money. Don't they get paid enough in Chicago public schools? They get paid way too much. I mean, talk about that sentiment, the sentiment that teachers are in some way greedy or that get paid more than they should here in the city of Chicago.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. I think it's a complete misnomer that in any of the recent years we've asked for more money, because in fact we've not gotten our raises under this current mayoral administration. And in our current contract negotiations, we haven't actually asked for a raise. So that's a complete misnomer. And as far as teachers making too much money, I really don't understand that, because I'm spending 8 hours a day with the people who are going to eventually be in charge of our city. And in my opinion, all of these other issues that we have in America could be solved with quality public education. And the first place that you start with that is by treating our teachers like the professionals that they are, with master's degrees and people who spend 8 to 10 hours a day with children. I mean, right. Come on.
All right. This will be the last question. I'll let the texter, a great text came in, said, I'm a retired, I'm an elementary education major. Okay. So they're in school. And I want to teach because I want to help, besides having a positive attitude. How do I change the negative attitude of my future peers? They seem so down. The question I seem to get most is, are you sure when I say I want to be a teacher? So, I mean, do you notice that? Do you notice that it almost becomes a difficult proposition to recruit new teachers, but also to be a teacher?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, exactly what you just said. There's this, I don't know when the dialogue became switched over that teachers are the enemy and teachers are the bad guy, because that's absolutely not the case. So what I would tell that person, you are going to change the world, because you're going to do it one student at a time, and you should never give up on that, because every year I've taught, and in my 12th year, every year I say this is the best year of my life. And typically, I was just saying this to a friend, on the last day of school, I still get sad. Like, I'm not one of those, you know, I go out and maybe have, you know, libations after the last day of school, but I'm sad on the last day because I'm leaving these little people that I have fallen in love with over the course of 180 days that I've spent with them. I mean, it's really a beautiful thing. So you should do it. Become a teacher. And don't worry about what anybody else says, because I don't.
Erica Wozniak is the Everyday Hero Awardee from the American Federation of Teachers. She's a fifth grade CPS science teacher at the neighborhood school Oriole Park Elementary in Norwood Park. Erica, thanks for being my guest tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Justin.